the Nobel Prize in Economics for researchers who change the way we think about economic experiments. From Marketplace, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio. Three U.S.-based economists are the winners of the Nobel Prize in Economics. That announcement came out just a bit ago, and Marketplace senior economics contributor Chris Farrell was on pins and needles waiting for the news. So, Chris, tell us about the winners.
It's David Card of the University of California, Berkeley, Joshua Angrist of MIT, and Guido Imbens of Stanford. Now, they're all well-known for their work in the labor markets and the Nobel Committee. They cited their research that allows for drawing cause and effect conclusions from unintended experiments. And I think the best known example is David Card and his work that he did with the minimum wage with the late Alan Krueger.
Unintended experiments. Tell me more about that.
Okay, so this was a paper that was published in 1994, and what Card and Krueger did is they compared fast food jobs in New Jersey, which had raised the state minimum wage in 1992 to $5.05 an hour. Now, in the neighboring counties of Pennsylvania, the minimum wage stayed at $4.25. And so this is a natural experiment. It wasn't, they didn't design it. They just sort of realized there's something here. And they could look at what is the employment effect. And what they found is that there was almost no employment effect.
And the other two winners, what about them?
So Joshua Angrist, he's an expert on labor economics and the economics of education. That's where a lot of his work has been done. And Guido Imbens, he does research which is very statistically oriented. And what he's really focused on is developing methods, a methodology, a process for how can you talk about cause and effect? And not correlation. You know, everyone's who ever taken a statistics course, you know, we have lots of correlations, but how can you talk about cause and effect? So when you're doing these sort of studies, when you're making observations, you know, how far can you push it when you're talking about cause and effect?
That's Marketplace senior economics contributor Chris Farrell. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
Today is a federal holiday, and this year it has two official designations. President Biden issued the usual proclamation for Columbus Day, but for the first time ever, he also marked today as Indigenous Peoples Day, honoring tribal nations in the United States and acknowledging centuries of policies that led to violence and displacement of Native Americans. The holiday is being observed today alongside Columbus Day, traditionally, a time when big retailers offer annual sales, but companies are now rethinking this. Many have started calling their October promotions by a different name, and even before the federal proclamation, recognition of Indigenous Peoples Day was on the rise. And with that comes an annual push for consumers to support Indigenous-owned businesses. Marketplace's Savannah Maher reports on what that means for those companies.
Today, many consumers may see articles or lists on social media encouraging them to hashtag buy Indigenous.
I'm not going to turn that down. I get put on those lists because we're a Native bookshop.
Lee Francis owns Red Planet Books and Comics in Albuquerque and is a citizen of the Laguna Pueblo. For several years, Francis says he's seen a spike in sales on the second Monday in October, mostly of comics and graphic novels by and about Native people.
This gives us a chance to get more of the stories out there that folks don't know about.
For some Native business owners, the increased interest hasn't been limited to the holiday. Melinda Williamson, who's Potawatomi and lives in Kansas, started Morning Light Kombucha in 2016. Lately, she says she can't keep up with demand.
It's just insane how many people are like, yeah, we want Native products on our shelves.
Starting today, Indigenous Peoples Day, she's shipping her product beyond Kansas to consumers nationwide. I'm Savannah Maher for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.2%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 3 to 7 tenths percent range, with the Dow future down 113 points. Bond markets are closed today for the holiday. Thank you. Some workers in California will now be able to speak a bit more freely about their former employers. A new law in the state limits confidentiality clauses in employee severance and settlement agreements, especially when it comes to talking about abuse in the workplace. Marketplace's Caroline Champlin has more on the influence of the new law.
If a company offers a worker a settlement over a harassment or discrimination claim, that employee can't be forced into a non-disclosure agreement about what happened. Lawyer Thomas Lenz represents employers and teaches about labor arbitration at USC.
It will make waves in ways that employers typically wanted to avoid, typically wanted to prevent.
He says the law could apply to people outside of the state who work for California companies. Stanford law professor Deborah Hensler says it could even inspire bills to ban such agreements in other situations, like in cases of consumers harmed by defective products.
I wouldn't be shocked if we found ourselves 5 to 10 years from now with broad prohibitions against these kinds of NDAs.
California's new law goes into effect January 1st. I'm Caroline Champlin for Marketplace.
And in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.